You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
And I wish some of your dozy mates in the media had got a fix on their job and started being reporters and journalists, not editorialists and analysts, which they're not qualified to do. Prison company accepted, of course.
The Wire.
Recently, we have seen members of the new coalition government be increasingly critical towards the media. In particular, this week we saw New Zealand First leader Winston Peters falsely accuse media of accepting government bribery in the form of the Public Interest Journalism Fund. I spoke to Associate Professor of Journalism at Massey University in Wellington, James Hollings, about the purpose of the fund and state-funded media, as well as the potential implications of some members of the incoming government's attitudes towards the media. Can you tell our listeners who may not know about this fund what it was intended for?
Well, the fund was set up by the then Labor government back in about 2019, I think, and it was really a response to two things. First of all, the really sort of alarming decline in advertising revenue in the mainstream New Zealand media, or all New Zealand media, as Google and Facebook and others were sucking a lot of advertising money out of the media. And so, I don't know if you remember, but what is now Stuff, was owned by Fairfax Australia at the time, and within almost broke, it was bought by a New Zealand journalist, Sinead Boucher. So there was a real feeling that New Zealand media was under threat and needed some sort of support. This is a worldwide thing. Governments are looking at how they can support media with subsidies in various places in Europe given to news media. And so New Zealand was sort of part of that trend. The other thing, of course, that happened was the pandemic, and that put huge pressures on journalism, as it did everyone, with journalists having to work from home and not being able to get into jobs. And that's the second thing. I guess one third thing would be an awareness by the then Labor government that New Zealand media needed more diversity in it, and more particularly Māori and Pacifica voices in it. So it was a real attempt to redress that by funding specifically young Māori to get into journalism training and organisations to take on specifically Māori and Pacifica roles, but overall also to boost capacity of journalism. Big problem in New Zealand journalism, as in other countries, is what they call news deserts. In other words, as the media dollar, advertising dollar has shrunk, news organisations are pulling back from small-scale, shrinking their regional newsrooms, just a lot of stuff not being covered, which used to be covered, so local councils, courts, that sort of thing. And so the Journalism Fund was also trying to redress that by specifically funding reporters who go and report on the local councils and report on courts, and to replace the reporters which are no longer there, which could no longer be funded by the mainstream media. That's in a nutshell what the club was trying to do.
And state-funded media, including media that had funding from the Public Interest Journalism Fund, editorially independent. Can you tell our listeners a bit about what this looks like in practice?
State-funded media, which is Radio New Zealand and Television New Zealand, required by law under the Governing Act to be editorially independent. And ministers, no minister of the Crown, may direct or try and influence that independence. And we saw Winston Peters come very close to the wind on this, in terms of breaking this law on Monday, when straight after swearing, being sworn in as Deputy Prime Minister, he came out and said that he'd be wanting to see how quickly TV New Zealand and Radio New Zealand moved to reduce their Māori, use of Māori language, in accordance with this sort of edict that's or wish of direction that's coming out from the current government about reducing that in public service organisations. So that would be very, very close to the wind in terms of breaching the Act and not giving any direction to TV New Zealand or Radio New Zealand. So he didn't really be pulled up on that, but someone should, because it's really quite out of line what he did in terms of playing in there. So these state organisations are required to be editorially independent. Of course, private sector organisations pride themselves on being editorially independent from governments and various other groups. That's how they sell their message to the audience, to the readers, that we are independent, we're acting on your behalf, not on behalf of some shadowy sort of private corporate or government interest.
Do you have any concerns about how the government's attitudes towards the media could affect public trust in the media in Aotearoa?
That's a really interesting question. It's a good question because some really great research has been done by AUT media scholars, Marie Malavati and Greg Treadwell, among others, about public trust in journalism in New Zealand. And what we've seen, what they've seen, is a really quite disturbing decline in public trust in journalism in the past 3 years, particularly in the past year. And that's across all types of news media, not just left-wing or, you know, or right-wing, for example. So Radio New Zealand, TV New Zealand, News Talk, ZB have all dropped about 12-14% in terms of public trust. And that's quite a big drop in 1 year. Brings them back down to sort of internationally sort of comparable levels, you know, sort of compared with Australia or the UK or Canada. They were a bit above that beforehand. And one of the reasons that's been suggested for that drop in public trust is that concern about the Public Interest Journalism Fund and some of the sort of spin that's been out there that it's a government bribe and so on from various people. And so that kind of rhetoric from, particularly from the Deputy Prime Minister, it's one thing hearing from someone in opposition, but from the Deputy Prime Minister is not going to help public trust in journalism in New Zealand. And we heard Judith Collins on Morning Report just yesterday, or Monday rather, saying, Tuesday rather, saying how concerned she, well, the media has a very important place in democracy, and she acknowledges that. So, you know, there's some elements of the current government that are very sort of staunch and, I think, responsible about and understand the role of the media in upholding democracy, that it's a very symbiotic relationship. And there seem to be some elements that just don't. So it's hard to know exactly how it's going to play out. I think it's been interesting because National doesn't really have a media policy in many senses. It doesn't have a broadcasting policy going into the election. New Zealand First did have a very clear and articulated and some way actually quite reasonable broadcasting policy. And they really wanted the ministerial portfolio for broadcast, and they didn't get it. They got an undersecretary role there. So you can see, you know, where there's a vacuum, people will fill it. And I think Winston's already sort of seems to be doing that by his comments about the media. So exactly how much influence New Zealand First is going to be able to have on the new government in terms of filling up that sort of policy vacuum in broadcasting and media in general is going to be very interesting to see how that plays out.
That was Associate Professor of Journalism at Massey University in Wellington, James Hollings, discussing the role of publicly funded media in Aotearoa and the incoming government's media policy.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.